Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor. Now, we're really going to get into the draft because joining us is Dan Chonka from Our Lads. And I know that he's just putting out the latest guide that's going to be there for the draft. Just put it out this week. And, of course, everybody can get this. So, Dan, first off, give everybody the chance to get an opportunity to get the Our Lads guide because it's fantastic.
Well, thank you, John. They can go to our website at OurLads, OurLads.com. And there's a subscription button up there, I guess you'd say, in the right upper right-hand side. You click on that, order online, or you can give us a phone call at 1-800-PRO-DRAFT, and we send those out. Now they're going out daily. We had our big shipment go out today, and so as we get those orders, they will be in the mail that day.
Fantastic. And so we'll get back and make sure that everybody has that again to do it. But let's get into the draft. And obviously, it's a defensive draft. And, of course, everybody in Seattle is waiting to see what can happen with the Seahawks. What they're looking at, obviously, is a defensive pass rusher, maybe somebody in the secondary. But first, let's go. How deep is this draft in the first, say, 30 picks, 32 picks for pass rushing defensive ends? Because that's clearly what Seattle's looking for. You know, they draft 21st. They'd like to trade down. How many first-round defensive ends and pass rushers that would fit Seattle would be available?
Well, I tell you, John, they actually, you know, in the way teams do it anymore, I mean, you might say you're a four-man front, but, you know, you slide into a three-man front because you'll have a linebacker blitzing from the outside or a pressure player coming from the outside some way. So, but, you know, actually through about four rounds, you're going to get somebody that's not bad. Now, at defensive end, you like Bosa and Sweat and Farrell and Gary, they'll be the first round guys. But then second round, hey, you know, you got guys like Ferguson from, you know, Louisiana Tech and Bryant from Clemson, and then a real long guy. He's 6'7", about 280, but he ended up having about 9 sacks for Iowa this year. But Anthony Nelson is really a good player that a lot of people aren't talking about. But then you got Zach Allen from Boston College. I think they're all going to go in the second round. And then third round, you got Winovich from Michigan, you know, Banneku from TCU, Collier from TCU, Jackson from Miami, and Omiyu from Texas. So there's some, and I'll tell you, up there in the Northwest, there's guys that, like, not a lot of people aren't talking about until we get close to draft time, but Hollins from Oregon was tremendous at the East-West game. And he's a super productive guy and knocked the lights out at the combine. So he and Jelts from Oregon, both those guys are going to get a lot of play too. So I think there's going to be a lot of pressure players there for Seattle to pick from.
Now, one guy I'm kind of intrigued with is Brian Burns, who, and again, like most teams, I mean, they'll put out how many first round grades are going to have. And, you know, in many years, it's only going to be 15. Everybody else is going to have second round grades. This draft being maybe a little bit deeper, but what do you see as far as Brian Burns out of Florida State?
John, every time he comes off the ball, he looks like fire ants went down his britches. You know, he is super explosive. Now, the reason I didn't mention him or Josh Allen is because we got those at outside linebacker pressure players, But Burns could, you know, he's one of those kind of guys that could swing both ways. He can go as a defensive end. He can go as an outside linebacker. But the key with him is his explosive takeoff. He comes off the ball, like I said, like a scalded dog, and he gets up the field. So his explosiveness is paramount. And now that would be a guy that Seattle would like, and he'd fit right there where they're going to pick, too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, knowing that they only have four draft choices, they like the flexibility of trying to move down. And you go back to 2017, you know, they go from 25 to 35, and they ended up ironically getting three starters out of it because they got a third, a fourth, a sixth, and a seventh. Third ended up being Shaquille Griffin. The fourth, they were able to get Tedrick Thompson. Seventh round, they were able to get Chris Carson at running back. And so I think that they'd like to be able to do it, but that's where the gamble can be. Can you move down 10 or 11 spots, maybe maybe getting a third and a fourth round pick and still get that good pass rusher.
Yeah, that will be the million-dollar question, but Holland might be there for him. A little bit about him. Now, he's a little over 6'5". He's about 250, and he ran 4.49 or 4.48 at the combine. And if the Seahawks decide to trade down, that might be a target for him, in that second round area. Because he's got to get out of this. Or he won't get out of the second round. I mean, if he does, it's going to be a steal for somebody.
No question about it. And that's it. Yeah, the one thing I wonder kind of about Zach Allen, I think, didn't he run about a 5 in the 40, which would kind of limit a team? Because this team's going to want speed. They're going to want the quickness.
Right. Well, that's what they're all about, that speed and quickness, like you said. Now, Allen, what he is, he's just a relentless, hardworking, just try-hard guy that he's going to wear out that offensive tackle across from him. And, he did run that 5-flat area. But, he's been so productive over his career, and that's one thing you got to look at, too, that obviously the tackles he played against the ACC, maybe aren't going to be what he's going to see in the NFL. But, like I said, he wears people down, and he could be a 6-to-8-sack guy just by scheme.
No question about it. And the one guy that really kind of dropped off is Ja'Kai Polite from Florida, who I think had like a mid-first-round grade when you started looking at it. And it just has not been a good offseason for him.
No, you're right, John. He had some problems. Of course, he didn't look like he was in great shape at the combine. And then at his pro day, he was even worse. So, which is kind of unusual because, Drew Rosenhaus is his agent, and Rosenhaus usually has his players ready to roll at the combine and pro days and things like that. And Polite, he didn't do himself any favor in those two venues. And somebody may have taken him maybe even, down in the third round, the fourth round, and maybe a steal for somebody. But we got to find out, obviously, what the problem is, because if it's an attitude thing, well, he just might fall off the draft. Who knows?
Yeah, and also it looks like it's a good year for defensive tackles. How many first-round, second-round defensive tackles are there going to be available, particularly those that can pass rush?
Oh, okay. Well, John, the pass rush is explosive. The three technique guys, the one gappers, obviously Oliver is heading the group there. But, Quentin Williams from Alabama, just a tremendous inside push the pocket, the pass rusher. We really like Wilkins from Clemson, who played defensive end, and he played defensive tackle over his career there. And Simmons is going to be out this year because of the ACL for Mississippi State. But he was a guy very talented. He could also push the pocket and be a three technique. But there are other guys like Jones from Ohio State, who's going to be, he's a little lighter. He's about 285. But he's so quick off the ball. He's a one-gap penetrator kind of guy. Willis from Miami, another one that's a penetrator. He's probably going to end up going a third round, so that's going to be a steal for somebody. So, the interesting thing, John, there's going to be a group in that fourth and fifth round area, like Michael Dogby, for instance, from Temple, who here's a guy that's 285 pounds, super explosive, one-gap guy, and when you saw him on film this year, you thought you were looking at Ed Oliver, but the problem is it's Dogby from Temple, not Oliver. And this kid might be a steal for somebody in that fourth and fifth round area.
It's not a great year for cornerbacks because you notice that the speed wasn't necessarily the big thing. I mean, how good of a draft is it at corner?
Our scout, we got one scout that does each position, and our scout that does the secondary has been coaching and coached the position and been a head coach and things like that for about 40 years. And he said this might be one of the worst groups he's ever seen, obviously Greedy Williams is the top of the food chain there, but now, a guy that didn't run well, but he's a great player, and he was our top corner for a long time, is Byron Murphy from Washington. I mean, he does everything right. If you didn't know what he ran the 40 in, you know, you'd say, man, this guy's a lock, you know, middle of the first round guy. And he's going to go in the first round, but just a matter of, you know, how he's going to fit in different teams. But he's a terrific football player. And then Baker from Georgia is the other one. But those are the three that we got in the first round. Mullen from Clemson is a guy that could squeeze in at the bottom because of need for somebody. But, no, you're right. The speed factor, just, you know, remember the old days, John. Guys, you know, they'd come over from the combine, and, you know, I know you were one of the reporters there, and you say, well, what do you end up running? And you could almost put, if guys are running the 4.4s or the low 4.5s, you could almost stack your, you know, how they'd be drafted, you know, by how they ran there at the combine. And, but it's a little different now. The way there's so many people looking at, there's so many teams using these guys in different ways that, you know, like Seattle, they want those big corners, you know, those big long corners. That's what they want. And Lonnie Johnson from Kentucky is their cup of tea. You know, he's a real tall, lanky guy. So it just depends on, you know, what your team is looking for.
No question. I guess that's the one thing. If Seattle does move beyond some of the pass rushers, I mean, then they can start looking at the cornerbacks, but also the safeties. What do you like at the safety position that may fit Seattle?
Well, I tell you, I love Rapp from Washington, too. I mean, there's another. That's our top safety. He's a terrific football player. And a guy that we really like is Thornhill from Virginia. This is a guy that played corner for half his career, and then half his four-year career, and then he's moved over to safety. But here's a safety with corner skills, and he's 6'1", 205 pounds. He ran 4.4 at the combine. He was one of our – we have an OSR in our draft guide, which is our analytical rating, how they did athletically at the combine. And he was like second of all the defensive backs there athletically. And so here's a big, fast guy that's smart, and he can really run, and he's very versatile. So he's going to be a steal for somebody. He might squeeze in the bottom of one, but we got him in the second round.
Interesting. Historically, where would you put this draft as far as defense, particularly in the defensive line? What comparable year and guys would compare to particularly the defensive line, the edge rushers, the linebackers in this draft?
John, I'd say it'd be pretty close to the top. And the reason is because, again, how the teams are playing these guys. You know, they're so, you know, you're looking for very versatile guys, except for like New England, they like specifics. They have a role for you when they draft you, but most of the teams are looking for guys that can line up everywhere on that. Say if you're a linebacker, you got to be able to walk out of slot and play the slot receiver, and that's why guys like Bush, the two Devons, Bush and White, are so valuable, because they're never going to have to come off the field. They can run with, and as you know, with the 4-2, everybody's running basically a 4-2-5 now, because your base offense has got three wide receivers. You know, now you've got to have that. You don't want to make the substitutions all the time. You got to have guys like Bush and White out there that can make the adjustments on the field. So, but John, I'll tell you, I really think that it's, you know, year-wise, I don't know really where to compare it, but I do know this, that what's going on now in the NFL, this is one of the top defensive drafts, certainly the front end that we've seen.
And it's kind of ironic, too, because, again, the offense continues to be such a big topic, and it doesn't seem to be a great offensive year. There may only be one running back that could be drafted in the first round. And honestly, I still wonder about DK Metcalf at wide receiver. I mean, there's some people that think there may not be a legitimate first-round wide receiver. You know one or two are going to go in the first round, but as great of an athlete and as great a specimen as DK Metcalf, could he slip out of the first round?
He could, John. But, you know, with the medical, he's had a neck, and he's had other injuries. And, you know, it just depends on how the physicals come across with, you know, 32. As you know, 32 teams look at this 32 different ways, and everybody sees Jeff being vertical, getting down the field, making those over-shoulder catches where he can track the ball and everything. But that's what he does. And, you know, coming across the middle, change direction, doing things like that. He is kind of stiff, really, and you want to see some flexibility, because usually if a guy's got some stiffness, you know, they're going to get hurt easier. And so that's, but you're right. I mean, theoretically, maybe none of these guys should go, like Metcalf or Samuel. He's really a good wide receiver for South Carolina, but he'd been nicked up in his career. And then, of course, Marquise Brown from Oklahoma, a super explosive guy that now has that, you know, foot injury. We'll see how he does. And then you got another Brown there at Mississippi who's, you know, he's built kind of like a running back player. And those guys are all mentioned in the first round, but, you know, you're exactly right. We, you know, you could have zero go in the first round, but like you said, it's probably going to end up at least being two.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm kind of wondering, what do you think of Harry from Arizona State?
Like him. Big, strong guy. And, again, I'll refer, like, to our wide receiver scout who actually back in the NFL right now, but he was doing all our stuff for all the receivers for a couple years. And, you know, he really, he actually has Metcalf ahead of Harry, and then, you know, and he really liked Brown, obviously, with his explosiveness. But I like Harry because he could return. He's got a little bit of flexibility in his hips. He's not a real stiff guy. He's big and strong. He's got a good catching radius. And but again, hey, you know, John, I asked like five different scouts out there, said, well, who's your top wide receiver? And every one had a different answer. So, and Harry was one of them. You know, so it is, you know, you're not going to know until draft time what these teams think of all these receivers because, you know, Arcedia Whiteside from Stanford is another one people really like. So, hey, there's Butler from Iowa State. Here's a guy that if he didn't drop about, you know, one out of every 10 passes, he would be up there too, you know. But he's a guy 6'5", and, you know, 227 pounds that ran 4.4. So, there's some really good size receivers here, but it's just kind of your matter of preference.
One of the little trends I kind of picked up on, and I think it's a little bit of a concern on the overall draft. I mean, this draft does have a lot of players, even though talented, that carry over some injuries, and also because the draft keeps getting younger, you know, more 20, 21-year-old guys. What you kind of wonder is that what's going on in college right now where you stay for 3 years, but really your bodies may not be 100% ready for the NFL.
No question about it, John, and I made a mistake like that before. That when I first started scouting with the Eagles, there was a linebacker out of Georgia that he was a leading tackler and things like, but his body wasn't an NFL body. You know, he wasn't a heavily muscled guy. You know, and we ended up taking him in the fifth round, and he did a good job. He started for us for a couple of years, but he got injured a lot. And so, what you're saying is a very valid point. Some of these guys, they don't have NFL bodies. You know, especially if you've only been in school or you've been playing 1 year, you know, that's what bothers me about Kyler Murray, for instance. Here's a small bone guy, you know, very explosive and a terrific athlete. But I'm telling you, you know, and you've seen a million NFL games, John, and they have no idea. It's like getting hit by a Mack truck. I don't think he can hold up. So that's, but you're exactly right. Your trending is right. They got to be heavily muscled. They got to be bigger, stronger guys, thicker bone guys, things like that, to be able to play in the NFL.
No question. And how do you kind of rate the quarterbacks overall?
Not good. As you know, we're kind of an outlier always on the quarterbacks because last year we were standing by ourselves on Baker Mayfield, and you know, and this year Haskins our top guy. In fact, we don't think there's really anybody close. As an NFL prospect, I mean, we got locked. I mean, you know, we got him down at the bottom of the second round. Hey, is he going to go in the first? He probably will. So many, you know, how people are. If they don't have a quarterback, they panic, and then they take some, and then they'll say in 2 years, oh, this guy can't play, you know. And but we like Finley from North Carolina State, who here's a guy that he's not sexy. He's just a real solid guy that won't get you beat. He doesn't throw interceptions. He moves the ball around tons of different receivers. He's very smart. And to me, if you make great decisions and you're accurate, you got a chance. And Locke is not in that, you know, in that category. And Greer has that problem, too, out of West Virginia. So and then Jones, I think he's, you know, from Duke. He's very mechanical. And I just thought this is not a really good quarterback. What you got is a few backup guys. I don't think any – there's not going to be many that are going to be, you know, starters down the road. And but you got a lot of number twos and threes.
Okay, again, how can you get our lads?
John, fans can go to OurLads.com, or give us a phone call at 1-800-PRO-DRAFT, and we'll get the guide sent out to them immediately.
Hey, Dan Cianca, as always, great talking to you and great observations.
Thank you so much, John. Great being with you.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with the Professor.